Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This podcaster named Sean Allen.
ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast.
ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast.
I got my friend, my girl, songwriter, Grammy winning, Carla Carter. Thank you for tapping in the ASAP, Carla.
What's going on? Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Man, this is long overdue. Talking to you offline, before we started recording, I knew you was bad, but damn, you got a lot of shit in the pipeline. You got a lot of shit going on. You video edit, you graphic design, you write songs.
Yeah, I'm all over the place.
You a little educator. You do a little bit of everything. But you know, we got to celebrate that. And I was telling you too, like, since I've known you for, I don't know how long we've known each other, for years.
For a really long time.
You've always been very private. And I mean, I understand, you know, where we live at and the type of work we do. You don't want people to befriend you and be in your face because they think you got an opportunity for them. But you, as a black woman in this industry, male-dominated industry, I would want to see more of you, you know, a little bit more public of what you do and your accomplishments.
You know, I've been told that, and I've been working on that. Honestly, it kind of goes against my nature a little bit, so I have to be more intentional about putting myself out there, because, you know, like, I was raised in one of those households where it's all about humility. I was raised in a Christian household. So, you know, and I was raised with brothers and sisters. I come from a really big family. So, you know, it was always kind of, the vibe was, everything's not about you, you know? And I think I kind of took that into adulthood, and that's kind of ingrained in me, honestly. And it's something that I've been intentional about breaking a little bit. Like, I don't want to go overboard, but I am very conscious of you know, just trying to think about things outside of myself. So I think that's probably the way that the reason that I present myself in that way, honestly. Like, and I feel like, you know, my grandmother used to always tell me, she's like, keep a little mystery about yourself, you know. And that just always stuck with me. And I do like the fact that everybody don't know my business. I don't want everybody in my business. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like this whole social media thing, the fact that everybody knows what everybody is doing, it's just that makes me a little uncomfortable. The world I grew up in wasn't like that. So, you know.
I feel you, but, and I hate when we do this to each other. I hate when we do this to our friends who are in the business, who are artists. Don't you feel, and I'm doing it to you, but don't you feel like there's a little bit like of responsibility for you to kind of show women and like black girls, women of color, black, you know, whatever we're calling them. I don't want to misgender or fuck up nobody's pronouns, but don't you feel like it's a little bit of your responsibility to kind of show, like, I'm doing this, I did this, you could do it, like, inspiration? Is that your responsibility? Like, You know what I mean?
I don't know if I feel like it's my responsibility. I do feel like it's important, though. And I do feel like I share a decent amount. I'm not sure, like, how many people are paying attention, but I feel like I share enough. You know, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know that I feel this, that it's my responsibility. The people that are around me, the people that I come into contact with, I'm very open with the people that I meet. It's just not something that I portray online, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. And I mean, you're very accomplished, and you're accomplished with being stealth Carla, private Carla. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You didn't get these accomplishments and these accolades by, I do this, I do this, I do this, I do.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, just in the world we live in, I feel like that would open me up to something I really don't want to deal with, because I really don't care about people's opinions about how I'm living my life. And I think that's one of the reasons I don't really always share, because I don't care what people think, you know, like, and I don't really want to hear what people think. And I feel like when you put it online, it's almost like asking for what people think in a way, you know. It's like, OK, you put it out there. If you don't want people's opinions, then you probably shouldn't have put it out there. And certain things, I just don't care what people think. So I don't see the need to put it out there and promote it. You know, the things that I feel that need to be promoted, I do. Like, if I put out a new record, or if I'm on a new project, or if I have something going on, you know, I promote those things. And I am trying to be a little bit more intentional, like I said, about sharing more of who I am, because I do feel like on some level that is important. But I don't think, honestly, I don't think anybody would ever get that whole lifestyle thing from me online. Like, I don't think I would ever be comfortable with that. I'm just going to be honest. You could get more. I'll share more of my thoughts. Like, and I've been doing that. But as far as, like, my life and letting people all the way in, no. I think, you know, some of this belongs to me. Like, I just saw a post from Duran the other day. He was like, you know, he said something, and I'm talking about Duran Bernard. He said something about, you know, people wanting 100% of you. And he's like, nah, I'll give you a cool 88. He was like, or a scientific 98.6, but 100%? Nah, I got to keep something for me, you know, and that's how I feel.
You know, what's interesting, though, we probably do know more of you than we think, because with this resume and, you know, these accolades and this Grammy, you have apparently poured yourself into your music and your songwriting. You know what I mean?
That's how people get me. Yep.
Yeah.
That's how you experience Carla.
Is it safe for me to say that maybe you're not as private as we like to think you are?
You know, online,
on social media,
on social media, you get what I give you. And in person, the people that really know me, I'm not rigid. I'm not closed off. I'm very vocal with people that are around me, people that I choose to share my life with. Even people that I just come in contact with. I do share a lot. And that's why I say I don't feel like I'm holding anything back from anybody, because when I'm in my day to day, just out and about and dealing with people on a one-on-one basis, like I feel like I put me into those interactions. Like, I don't really hold anything back in that way. You know what I mean? Like, if somebody asks me a question, I'm going to be honest about how I feel. Like, I'm not reserved. I'm not shy. I'm just private, you know, online.
Right. Yeah, and I think I'm pretty private too. I'm very active on social media, online, but I think there is an art to being present online and being private.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? There's an art to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I am very vocal and very active on. Well, I am very vocal and active on social media, but I think that a lot of people don't know a lot of things about me too at the same time.
Yeah, because I didn't know. I didn't know some things. I didn't know how boss you were as long as I've known you. I had no clue.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting too. Like, we talked about this offline. I kind of don't. I will post like my profession, my job. I'll post it, you know, every now and then. But there was a time where I was like very active on like, okay, look at me at work. This is what I'm doing. This is a show I worked on. This is a show I worked on. This is where my podcast is. I was doing that, and I was finding people hitting me up and like befriending me because they thought that I had opportunity for them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was very disheartening, and I'm just not that dude that you could kind of be fake with. You know what I mean? I'm going to call you out on it. Even my family, you know, I got some family in television, powerful people. You know, you could put two and two together. And like, I'll post them like in my story, you'll see them in the background or whatever. And then I get a bunch of DMs. But if I put, for all intents and purposes, if I put Michael Jackson all over my Instagram, everybody's going to be hitting me up trying to come to family functions and be like, hey, that's your uncle.
Right.
So it's like, I kind of just stay away from that stuff. And you'll see a little sprinkle here and there. But people, especially in this town too, people want an opportunity and they would befriend you on some phony stuff and for the purpose of infiltrating your network. And you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I learned really early on to be careful with that. And I was signed to Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. So they kind of told me up front, you know, be careful, because a lot of people, they know who they are. And they knew a lot of people would try to use me to get to them. And they did warn me about that really, really early on in our relationship when I first moved out to L.A. And I had an experience with some girls that I thought were friends. And this is kind of what actually made me shut down. I'm going to be honest. In L.A., I met these two girls, and it one of them, I really wanted to work with her because I loved her voice. And I had been hearing a lot about her, and I had a friend that made the connection. And I guess the way it was presented to her is, oh yeah, she signed to Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. And in a way that works, you know, I'm not gonna act like, you know, that didn't help me. The fact that I was signed to Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, that definitely increased my visibility for sure. And I appreciated being able to say that, because that got me in some rooms that where the door might have been closed. But of course, it's if the door is open, it's a whole lot of stuff that's coming in. You know what I mean? You just got to be wary and have discernment about certain things. So I guess the way that it was presented to her is, yo, she's signed to Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. Get over there, because, you know, one plus one is two. And she came with her friend initially, and it was almost kind of like they tag teamed me, because her friend and I got really cool, and I ended up becoming really good friends with the friend. Not so much with her and I never really connected, and I've just never been that fake person. Like, if I don't connect with you, it's just going to be work. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to go out of my way to befriend you or be anything that I'm not. Like, I've never subscribed to that, and I don't have that in me. I know some people that are really good. They are great with all kinds of people. They can befriend everybody. I'm not that person. Like, I connect with who I connect with, and with her, we just didn't connect. But with her friend, we absolutely did, and we just kind of hit it off. And maybe about 2 or 3 months after her and I had established our relationship, I guess her and the girl that I initially wanted to work with, the girl that brought her, they fell out and they had an issue. And she ended up telling me the whole story about how they came over there and the whole plan. They had a whole plan, Sean.
Wow.
the whole plan
on some predatorial shit.
Yeah, that was scary to me. You know what I mean? Because to me, that never occurred to me that that was what was happening, that they had conspired this whole thing to get over there and become best friends with me. Like, I'm just like, are you serious? Like, people really think like that? And the reason that it scared me at the time was because I was like, yo, I don't even think like that. And another thing my grandmother used to always tell me is you can only measure people by your own yardstick. So if that's not something that I would do, that's not something that I'm going to be expecting. You know what I mean? So at that point, that let me know, you know, how people thought in LA. And I just kind of shut down because I was like, I don't know who to trust. Like, I don't know if you really want to be my friend. I don't know if you're just trying to get over here to the studio, or I don't know what it is. So at that point, I was just like, yo, it's business. I don't need no friends. Like, I'm cool. I'm cool with the friends I got. Like, and like, again, like the friends I have to this day, I've been friends with them forever, since before LA, since high school, most of them. You know what I mean? So my closest friends, like, I never met them on no music stuff. You know, it's very few friends that I have that I met in music. I do have friends in music, but most my closest friends, you know, it has nothing to do with music. It never did. So, and I think that was kind of where I shut down. And that was very, very early on in my career. And I'm actually happy that it happened when it did, because I think that had I not had that experience, it would have been a lot. It would have been very easy for people to take advantage of me, for sure.
Yeah, I see that. And I have my own experiences with that. I'm not in music or anything like that, but people try to befriend me because they think that, you know, I have an opportunity for them, or trying to get to someone, trying to get to you. Mm-hmm. You know, Carla Carter, you know, with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis and Usher and all this. So hook me up with her, you know. So, I mean, that is kind of why, and I guess that goes back to what we're saying about the privacy and not posting too much of what you do and the accolades and stuff like that, because those people do exist, you know what I mean? And it happens. You be friends with a person for 4 years, so you thought, and the moment you tell them they can't join you on a session, they start acting funny.
Oh, yeah.
And brand new. Oh, you know what I mean? But we're not about to just gloss over Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. Those are like the greatest of all time.
They are.
I, you know, their career, I mean, it spans, what, 40, 50 years, their career.
They are.
You know,
the
Janet Jackson thing, the Prince. Like, how long were you working with them? Like, give us a briefing of how that happened.
So I was actually signed to them for about 10 years.
Wow.
And that contract, we ended that because I wanted to move on and do the independent thing. And that was actually last year, the beginning of 2020. I started working with them in 2005. So from 2005 to 2020, I'm sorry.
Wow.
So yeah, it was a very long relationship. They are family for sure. And that whole situation is incredible. Like, to be honest with you, the whole time I was there, like I was pinching myself the entire time. Like, I couldn't believe myself that I had made it to that situation, if I'm going to be honest with you, because I remember being younger, like, before I got signed to them. It's probably, like, a testament to the law of attraction, because before I didn't know anything about law of attraction prior to meeting Uncle T. He was the one that introduced me to that. I think in 2009 he gave me the movie The Secret and was like, watch this. And I'm like, okay. And prior to that, I knew nothing about it. But certain aspects of it were already in practice in my life, if that makes sense. Because I remember back in 2004, 2005, I had a job. I was working for a travel agency, and I would sit on the computer in between calls, and I would just look at their website, and nothing about their website ever changed. But I just studied their website. I studied them. Like, I was obsessed with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. And it happened that way because I used to read, back when we had liner notes for albums and stuff, I used to read the album credits and see. I would always see their names on everything. I'm like, who are these guys? You know what I mean? And I recognized that they did, they were the soundtrack to my childhood. They did all the songs that I loved, you know? Nice. So I would just sit there on their website, and they had this one section where they taught people how to put together a demo. And they would tell people, like, what's considered a good demo, like how they listen to the demos and where to send the demos. So I knew a lot of that stuff by heart. And I can't even tell you how the situation came up. I was signed with an independent company, and it just worked out that way, like, to where the consultant was introduced us to Randy Jackson, and Randy Jackson, he was like, you know who you should be signed? He said, you know who you should meet. Actually, no, I'm lying. He started with you know who you sound like. And I was like, who? He goes, Black Cat Janet. And I was like, oh, wow. And I had gotten that a lot. Like, I don't try to sound like Janet Jackson, but I always get that my tone reminds people of Janet Jackson. So I wasn't so much surprised when I heard that. But when he goes, you know who you should be working with? I was like, who? He goes, Jammin' Lewis. And I looked at him and I go, as in Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis? He looks at me and he's like, what other Jammin' Lewis is there? Made the connection. And at the time, Big Jim, rest in peace, was the person that he had connected us with. And Big Jim was the one that set up the meeting with Uncle T and Jam. And it was just history from there. I went over there. And they listened to the records that I had, and they invited me back to write. At the time, they were working on a Janet 2YO album. And I remember it was probably about a month delay in between going to the first meeting and actually going to the studio, because they were finishing up that album. But when they got me over there, after that, it was just, they just kind of expected me to be there. I remember one time Uncle T looked at me and he was like, you know, we're giving you this opportunity. He was like, you need to be the first one here and the last one to leave every day, pretty much. And I was like, okay. And that's what I did. I was the first one there and the last one to leave for years. And eventually they signed me. I remember I had issues with my independent company, and they had come to St. Louis at the time. They were working on Ronald Isley, and he called me and he's like, we're in your city, come to the studio. And I went to the studio and I found out we were working on Ronald Isley, did the record. And afterwards, you know, he could tell that something was off with me because I was having issues with the company at that point. And He asked me, he's like, what's going on? I kept it 100 with him. I told him everything. And he pretty much just kind of came in and saved the day, really. Like, he's like, all right, so let's fix it. He was like, his whole thing was, you're too talented, you know, to be in this kind of situation. So he came, and that's how I ended up signing to Flight Time. And I was over there for years.
That's pretty dope. Big Jim, shout out to Big Jim. Rest in peace. That's one of my favorite
Janet
Jackson performances. You know what I'm talking about. That acoustic, I get so lonely.
Yep, that's everybody's favorite.
When people start being shady to Janet Jackson, I pull that up and I'm like, no, this girl is amazing. The stuff we hear her do is fun and for the studio and for the record, but she could really perform. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
She could really sing. She got a great vocal, and that's a great representation of that performance with Big Jim.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Randy Jackson. It's a No For Me Dog or her brother?
Oh, no. American Idol. What's up, dog?
It's a No For Me Dog.
The dog.
That one. So you were signed to Flight Time. Were you in like Minneapolis at any point?
No. They had moved to Santa Monica at that point.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
So I had always been in the Santa Monica studio.
In 2000, I think it was October 2015 or 2016, we were doing it never came out, obviously. I don't know if it's coming out or not. We were working on a documentary about Minneapolis and the music.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis was a big foundation.
Oh, yeah. They're the kings of that over there. Like, them, Prince.
Yeah.
Like, they run
crazy.
That.
Crazy. So you mean to tell me if I go back and listen to Janet Jackson, any Janet Jackson or Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis stuff from that time you were signed to them, a lot of it was composed, written, I hear you in the background.
So the Unbreakable album was the only one that we did when I was signed, because after 2YO, she had left for a while and she's kind of doing her own thing. She was in and out of the studio. Honestly, Unbreakable, we had been working on Unbreakable since 2008. It didn't come out till 2016. We started on that in 2008. And then, of course, Michael Jackson died, and she just kind of, well, understandably, she just kind of disappeared for about a year or two. She just wasn't ready to work.
So
it really took some time to finish that project, but the only song that I actually worked on Unbreakable was Take Me Away, and that was number 12.
What was the biggest, besides Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, who was the biggest artist you worked with in your eyes? And I'm not even talking about like in stats and, you know, accolades and Grammys, but like in your eyes, who was... It could be either or. They both can exist at the same time.
I honestly say Janet, because
wow.
I mean, I've worked with some really big people. Like Usher, I did Usher. Like Chaka Khan, Charlie Wilson, El DeBarge. I've done some Keisha Cole, Ronald Isley, of course. Trying to think, I met the Jacksons, the whole Jackson family over there. So I work with a lot of people, but I think the only experience where I just went nuts was with Janet. The first time I met Janet, I lost it. Like, I don't think, because before then I could, like, I always held it together in the studio. Like, I never looked at these people like they weren't people, if that makes sense. But right. I think when I met Janet, I just wasn't expecting it, because nobody told me that she was going to be in the studio that day. And I go to Jam's room and I saw feet behind the door, because I would always just speak to everybody when I walked in. And I saw Jam was there. So I opened his door to speak, and I saw feet behind the door. So I opened it wider to speak to whoever that was. And it's Janet. So I literally, like, they still make fun of me to this day because my mouth literally dropped wide open.
It so dropped wide open. Greatest of all time.
Huh?
The greatest of all time.
I know, like, right?
Janet, and Janet Jackson.
Like, how do you just randomly meet Janet Jackson? Like, so.
I grew up on a Jackson. I mean, who didn't grow up on a Jackson? I grew up on a Jackson. I grew up on Janet. But I even could tell you some LaToya Jackson songs. And people be like, what? I'm like, nah, she had some tunes back in the day. So she had some tunes.
She did, though. But.
Yeah. That's pretty dope. And Usher, that's what your Grammys for, Usher. Uh-huh. Is that right?
Yep.
What song is that?
Raymond versus Raymond. I worked on Mars versus Venus for that. I'm actually singing on the backgrounds for that. And then I had stuff to do with a couple different songs on there. But Mars versus Venus was the one that I had the most to do with.
And not because I know you and you my girl, but that's my favorite song on that album, too.
Really?
I swear to God.
That's so cool.
You know, you save the songs from the album. I don't have that whole album saved, but from that album, that is the only song I have saved.
I love it. Well, I'm on the backgrounds on that one, too.
Wow. Yeah, that's my shit, man. Dope stuff. So who do you want to work with that you haven't worked with?
Rihanna, for sure. Rihanna is...
That's going to happen.
Yeah, she's always been on... She's at the top of the list. You know what's what? Brandy too. I'm gonna say they're equal. Brandy and Rihanna. I've not worked with either of them.
So this is showcasing your range, because one is, you know, the vocal Bible, and the other one is a pop vocal, a pop singer. You know what I mean? You have the ability to, you know, make music for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that speaks to your talent and your range and your versatility as singer, songwriter, producer, composer, a little bit of everything. So shout out to you for that. So you grew up with like a lot of eclectic, versatile influence when it comes to music.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly.
Oh, yeah. My mom was into some of everything. My mom was the weird kid. Like, I guess that's how everybody would kind of look at her. Her
right.
musical taste was always very interesting. And of course, because that was her musical taste, that it was stuff that we were listening to. So I was exposed to a lot. Then she put me in piano when I was 4. So I learned to play the piano. I always played an instrument when I was a kid. And that exposed me to like classical music, because, you know, that's usually what they teach you when you're learning right. an instrument. I played in an orchestra from 11 to 17. I was actually first chair, first violin in that orchestra. It was Cameron Youth Chamber Orchestra. And we did a lot. We were actually really decent, especially for kids. Like, we were a really decent orchestra.
Wow.
So, it's a lot of range. I really listen to everything. Good music is good music. The genre doesn't matter to me. I literally, right. I have rock songs that I love. I have country music that I love. Of course, I prefer R&B, but I have electronic records like EDM, house music, hip hop. I listen to everything. I got some classical records that I like. If you listen to my playlist, like, people are usually like confused. Like, I'm into gospel. They're so, like, people scratch their heads when they listen to my playlist. They're like, how do we go from this to this? And I'm like, because it's good. Like, you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Do you hear what they're doing? Like,
and you did a gospel joint with Trinity 5-7, right?
Some Kind of Amazing, uh-huh.
Yeah, that's an amazing song, too. I love that song. That's the only song from that album I got saved. Now, that's a little biased because, you know, I know who did that song, but I love that song. That's a very, like, I mean, it's a gospel song, but it puts me in a great mood when I hear it.
Yeah.
When I'm going through something, I'll listen to it. And when I need to be grateful and thankful and appreciative of what I got going on, you know, that's one of those songs. So shout out to you and Drew for that one. But you talked about children and, you know, the education that you have behind music. What about this new institution that you created, Timeless TV? Could you dive into that? Because it sounds like, so my take on Timeless TV is that you guys are, well, I'm gonna let you explain it because I don't want to say the wrong thing.
So that started, like I said earlier in the interview, I got to the point where I just kind of wanted to do my own thing and go independent. Not because Uncle T and Jam did anything wrong, just because I understood the business a little bit more. And the first half of, I guess, my career, it was so much about the music industry that I didn't understand. I had just gotten signed, and I only knew what I could know, if that makes sense. Like, I had books about certain things, so I understood the lingo with certain things, but I didn't really understand what it meant. And I started to find that there were so many people in the industry that were on the same page as me. It's like, we've been signed for years. We've been making money in this business, and we have no clue what this means. So I felt like there was a need to educate people that were coming into it. Because to be honest with you, not what I didn't know costed me so much. When I started teaching, because I taught classes at Icon Collective, I taught some workshops at 1500, and I have been just kind of working with kids around the world since 2015. And the questions that I would get, it was almost like I found myself like almost wanting to mother them in a way, like, hey, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that, because I did that. And this, you know what I mean? Like, so right. I started to notice, like, I would get a lot of the same questions, and students would come to me and say the same things. And I just felt like there was a need to share the information that I had. And that's how Right Click was born. We kind of just started off as workshops, and I got a tip to move it to YouTube, because it's like, okay, well, there's more people than the people that you come in contact with that need this information. So why don't you just put it out there on YouTube? And I had never thought about YouTube before that. And I didn't really know anything about YouTube either. So at first, I'm gonna be honest, it wasn't appealing to me, because like I said, the social media thing is not really me. But I got used to the idea, and me and Drew got together, and we made it happen. We started putting together crash courses to kind of give information about things that some people wouldn't even think to ask about, you know? And then we did the interviews, and the whole point with the interviews was to just kind of go over people's stories. I wanted people to give the real. I wanted people to tell me the bad stuff that happened to you, because people need to hear this. Like, people need to know that these are the pitfalls. Don't make it pretty. Like, let's have a real conversation. And that's what we did. And it started to take off a little bit. And a management company found us, and they felt like, you know, something that people should have and people were interested in. So it started to evolve from there. It's not just music now at this point. We mainly kind of focus on music stories, but it's a little bit of everything now, just because, you know, musicians aren't just musicians. We're people. Like, I sit on social media or Instagram and laugh at the same things that everybody else laughs at. So we just kind of expanded it to include other things other than music, but we still have those interviews that we post. We'll get back to certain things like crash courses, but right now we're kind of focused on just building out the audience and getting the people there that really want that information.
Yeah, definitely. I dig it too. And what I liked before the transition, before the revamp, if you will, or the rebranding, if you know, if we could say that, I liked how you guys went into, you know, the nooks and crannies of like songs and songwriting. You guys were interviewing songwriters, producers, and we don't hear that or see that much. So I love what you guys were doing when you guys were doing, and I love what you guys do, how you guys go into the songwriting and all that. So, you know, definitely people could learn a lot from Timeless TV. What is the biggest tip you could give to someone that's trying to break into the industry?
So I always say you have to really understand the business that you're getting into, because what you don't know really can hurt you. Those contracts, like, you really do need to understand those contracts. You need to understand, you know, what a master is. You need to understand percentage and splits and relationships. Like, make sure that the relationships that you're entering into are really in your best interest. You know what I mean? Because a lot of the relationships that people enter into, I think that's kind of like why they get screwed, because they're with people that really kind of don't mean them any good. It's just business. So some of the stuff, like you're thinking everything is all good, and they're just kind of taking advantage of the fact that you don't know what they know, if that makes sense. And that happens so often in this industry. Like, you think these people are family and you think these people are friends. But when it come down to the money, like, it's business. It's always business. And you have to understand that. So you have to understand business in order to, I honestly think understanding the business would almost kind of help you to have better relationships, because you're not in a position where you're being taken advantage of, and you can kind of meet a person eye to eye because you know what you're supposed to have. You know your value, you know your worth. You know what people expect, and they know what you expect. So even if those relationships seem a little bit more rigid, they are better for business, if that makes sense. So just really understanding the business is the best advice that I can give. Really try to get into understanding what you don't know. Ask all the questions. Never be afraid to ask questions, because I think that's where I made the mistake. I always assumed that people were doing the right thing. I always assumed that people were looking out for me and that everything was cool. So I didn't ask questions. Matter of fact, I didn't start asking questions until later in the career when things weren't necessarily looking the way that I thought they should have been looking at that point, you know? And that's when it was like, hey, what is this? And why is this like this? And, you know, and some of the responses that I would get, it'd be like, wait a minute, like... Wait a minute. Have you guys been taking advantage of me? Like,
the great thing about that, though, is that you're young. You know, you still got your looks. You got a man. She's not single, fellas, but attractive. You're young. So you got a long road ahead of you, too. So you're about to recoup all that loss, and, you know, you're giving back. You're giving back at the same time.
I appreciate that.
Because you guys don't have to do this.
From your mouth to God's ears.
And I guess the wrong thing not to do, anyone getting into the industry, this goes for television too as well. Like, know the business before you get in the business, or while you're in the business, be learning about the business. Don't just be the talent.
Exactly.
Don't just sing. Learn your shit.
Because sometimes you can't know before you get into it. And that's just the truth. Like, but when you are into it, you have to constantly be educating yourself. Don't get comfortable because you got there. You know, because there's so much more to learn once you are there. You know what I mean? Like, you got to ask questions. You got to be inquisitive. You got to be curious. You know what I mean?
Right. What do you want to come out of Timeless TV?
So, I do hope to reach the people that really need the information. But honestly, as it grows, I'm finding that I'm just having fun with creating content for people. Like, I like sharing information, and I never knew that that was something that I would enjoy doing, because it's almost like I feel like a news reporter some days. Like, I actually get a lot out of sharing information with people, and it's good, it's cool for me, because it's not my business. It's the stuff that everybody else wants to share. So if I'm privy to it, then yeah, I'm gonna put it out. I'm gonna help pass the word and help promote, you know what I mean? Like, I've actually started to really enjoy doing that. So I'm hoping that it becomes a platform where people can just come and get information of all types. Like, I talk about everything, because like I said, musicians aren't just musicians. Like, you know, I'm pretty well-rounded. I talk about, you know, what's going on in the world. And honestly, this gives me an opportunity, because prior to this, I didn't really know what was going on in the world, because I was so like focused on what I was doing. And now, I'm more intentional about figuring out what's actually going on. So I know like what's happening in pop culture and what's happening, you know, in music and entertainment and stuff like that. And I can pass that on. I talk about money. I'm very into cryptocurrency at this point. I'm very, I'm bullish on it. I'm into history too. So we even go over that. I tell stories about how different businesses were created, because that's the kind of stuff I'm into. Inspirational stuff. Like if I hear some quotes or if I know some people that I feel like I've been inspired by, I just find really cool quotes and share. If there's some kind of information out there that somebody has given to help a person grow and become better, I'll share that and give my thoughts on the end of it. I just want it to be a place where people can come and get whatever they need. If it's money advice, if it's inspiration, if it's the gossip for the day, you know, if it's learning how to write a song, like whatever, you know, I want them to be able to come there and get it.
Explain to people publishing.
If you own your master's, you're going to get your publishing. The publishing is attached to the master, basically.
Okay, so master's and publishing is the same thing. And if you own your master's, you could license the music. How does that work?
The person that owns the master is the person that's in charge of where the song is placed, who can use the song. And the publishing that is attached to it is basically everybody that was a part of that record. They get a percentage of that record, and the publishing is how it's paid off out, but it's paid off of where the master is placed. So say I own 50% of a master and I send it to be placed on some TV show. If I'm the person that owns the master, I'm the person that can license that over. I can say to the TV company, yeah, you can use this. And the TV company says, okay, yeah, well, we can use this. Who all wrote this record? And I say, me and this person, and it's 50%. So then the people that are the TV show knows who to pay once things start coming in. Once the money starts, once they start making money, then they'll know who that money is supposed to go to. And that's the publishing.
Do you believe that Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, these online music streaming platforms, do you think that they are going to become the new record labels? Because now people are putting their own music up.
I think that people are going to become their own record labels. I honestly
see that happening fast.
I
see that change kind of happening fast.
Absolutely, because of all of the information that's out there, people are learning more and more because of platforms like RightClick, because of platforms like United Masters, because of a guy. It's I love Dorian 82 on YouTube. Because of platforms like that, where they're really getting into the business of this stuff and telling people what it really is. I think that people are, they have an aversion to these big companies at this point, you know? And a lot of these people are choosing to just do it on their own. And a lot of this stuff is way more accessible than it used to be. So it's not like back in the day, I sound like an old ass lady, but.
and don't look no older than 21.
Right. But back when, that was not as easily accessible. Like, you couldn't just buy an interface, you know what I mean? Like, if you had $1,000, like, you couldn't buy an interface and a microphone and Pro Tools or whatever DAW that you choose to use. Like, that wasn't that easy to come by. Like, you had to spend thousands and thousands of dollars to have that equipment. So if you had $1,000, it made more sense to take $1,000 and invest it in going to somebody's studio. Now you have $1,000, you could put a whole setup in your room, you know? So, and spend a couple hundred dollars more and somebody can teach you how to use it, you know? So I believe that people are just starting to wake up. They're starting to see that they can do this themselves, even with having, you know, platforms, the distributors like TuneCore and DistroKid. It's giving, it's empowering people to put their own music out, and people know that they can do this at this point. I don't need to go to a record label and say, hey, can you get my music out to everybody? You know, I can put it out and promote it myself. And depending on, you know, your network and your community and who you're attached to, you know, like you could do a lot. Like I know people, like it's people in my hometown that are really freaking popular. The whole world may not know them, you know what I mean? But they can easily pull a show together and have 2,000 people at that show because they are just that charismatic. You know what I mean? Like they have that kind of
Jaquan.
Huh?
You talking about Jaquan?
Oh yeah, him too. Like we had what in St. Louis, we had what we consider like local celebrities. Like, and St. Louis really supports their local artists, and that's another thing I appreciate about my hometown. Like I made it at home before I made it anywhere else, and I made it at home because of the community there. Like the community really does support the artists. Like if you get into the right circles there, like you will have a lot of support around you. Like the people that actually live in St. Louis, they love their artists. Like they support their artists. Like I still got people to this day, songs that I wrote back in 2003, 2002. I still got people back home that's like, yo, I still listen to this song every day. So, you know, the community at home is really dope. And I'm sure St. Louis is not the only city that's like that.
Right.
But, you know, you put something out, you could easily, you know, get 100,000 streams on a song, you know what I mean? Just from having your community listen to it and make a really decent amount of money. So why go to a record label, you know? Why go and that's split that, too, you know, 50% with somebody, you know what I mean? That's just probably going to screw you, you know? And I think that's how a lot of people are looking at it at this point. Like, I can do it myself. I think it makes more sense to do it yourself, get it to that point, and then go talk to the record labels. Because then they want to see you. They're coming to find you. You know what I mean?
Right, right, right. And you came from that era, too, where St. Louis was hot. Like, the Nelly, the Chingy, Jaquan.
Yep.
I'm mad that y'all let Ebony Eyes flop, though. Her album was kind of dope. No,
I'm surprised you know about Ebony Eyes. Yes,
oh, yeah.
Knows.
She has some heat. Uh-huh. She has some heat.
Yep.
What other? You had another guy, too, Pretty Willie or something,
yep,
right?
Yeah, Pretty Willie. Pretty Willie is actually, he's doing his thing now as an influencer. Yeah. He's really making waves, like, on YouTube. I think YouTube and Instagram.
Yeah. I was tapped into St. Louis.
And then we got a Fresco Kane. He got Coke Bottle out with Nelly right now. Like, we had a, who else? Taylor May. It's legitimate artists in St. Louis.
Wait a minute. And you guys kind of, like, St. Louis kind of, like, she's from Tennessee, but, like, the whole Tina Turner thing kind of came out of, right? Is that a part
well,
of,
she's
that's
from,
a big
from
part of
St.
the story?
Louis. She's from St. Louis.
Okay. See, I knew it. Mm-hmm. I knew it. Wow. So you guys always kind of had heat out of St. Louis. And
yeah,
got
Chuck
Carla
Berry's
Carter.
from St. Louis. Like, it's a pretty decent amount of people. And I think SZA lived there in her younger years before she moved to Jersey, if I'm not mistaken. I believe she potentially was born in St. Louis. I'm not sure. She's either born in St. Louis or she spent her childhood in St. Louis. So it's pretty decent artist that came out of St. Louis for sure. But Nelly for sure did open the door for a lot of people from our generation for sure. Because even my opportunity came from being in that crowd.
The visibility of, yeah.
I was working with Dirty ENT a lot, and that's where my opportunities came from.
And now we got Carla Carter, been in the game for, you know, almost two decades. everybody know your songs, and then knowing a little bit more about the girl.
I know a lot of people, the Dawn stuff, a lot of people were familiar with that stuff. I think that's probably the one that I had my hand in the most, from in terms of like creating from the ground up. The Dawn stuff, I get recognized for that a lot.
And it's so interesting too, because she has like a huge cult following. You know, well, she's avant-garde R&B, and I, looking at your resume and knowing the stuff you've done, that is very much the most innovative music that I would say that you've been a part of. Like,
honestly, out of everything I've ever done, I've worked with some really amazing people. But the Dawn projects, I'm most proud of those projects, just because I feel like we took chances that nobody was taking at that time. And it's funny because I'm listening to how music has evolved and what music was before we did that. And I'm not saying we introduced it, but R&B did not sound like that prior to Armor On. I think Armor On was a huge influence for a lot of the newer artists, newer songwriters, newer producers that are doing their thing now. So in terms of just creativity, I'm most proud of that. And I think if I go back and listen to any of my music, that the Dawn stuff is usually what I'm listening to. Just because we didn't care. Like, I remember when she first came into the studio, she's like, you know, are people going to like that? And I remember looking at her like, who cares, Dawn? And I feel like she had the freedom to do that because she was independent. You know what I mean? It's just like, we were like, she used to always say, I want to make rainforest music. That was her thing. And she had this move that she made. She's like, I want it to feel like this. You know what I'm saying? So we made rainforest music, you know? And
she's talented, the voice.
Oh, she's incredible. She is incredible. Like, some people think, like, you know, that she's being enhanced. No, Dawn sounds like that live. She's probably one of the most incredible artists I've ever had the opportunity to work with. But yeah, I'm most proud of that just creatively because we took so many chances. Like, we pushed the envelope at that point and we didn't care. And I remember when it came out, we were all looking around at each other, scratching our heads, because it went from drop to number one in like 7 hours. And we were looking at each other like, oh my God, because we didn't expect that. We didn't expect that at all. I'm going to be 100% with you. I'm not saying this for any kind of like interesting material. Like, we literally were like, what?
And it's timeless.
Yeah.
It's timeless.
We didn't think people were going to get it. We didn't care that people got it, but we didn't think that people were going to get it. So we were scratching our heads. We were just like, are you serious right now?
And it's crazy too, because I knew that you guys was working with her before the music came out, but I wasn't like tapped in like that. And I went to a show. I knew somebody who was on her team, and I went to a show, and it was packed. Like, it was crazy. Like, it was a nice venue. It was here in Hollywood. It was, people knew all the songs. It was chanting. Like, I was like, wait. And I'm like, wait, my friends did this though. This is their music.
Dawn that they is did for Dawn. To me. I won't call her slept on, because she definitely gets her flowers. Like, she has her cult following for sure. And if you meet a Dawn fan, they are Dawn fans. They're no different from the Beehive and no different from the Navy.
Oh, definitely.
Like, they ride for her. Do you hear me? But I don't feel like she gets the attention that she deserves, because she's an amazing performer. She's an amazing talent. Like, when I say she's slept on, I mean, she doesn't get the media attention that I feel like she deserves.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what, though? She eating off that work.
Oh, yeah.
It's better to be warm than hot.
And she's comfortable. I mean? She has that, if I'm not mistaken, she has a deal with Adult Swim. She's making all the music for this anime stuff. Like, she's out here. Dawn is doing her thing. She just opened a restaurant. she's still doing Dawn, and she's still doing Dawn in Dawn's way. And that's why I love her as an artist.
And you did her first three projects, right?
Armor On, Whiteout, and Golden Heart. Yep.
Yeah, and she got the one that just came out. Yeah. I mean, it's timeless music. You guys, you know, created a sound. And I would say that that is probably one of the first, like, avant-garde R&B alternative, like, projects that I remember. And, you know, it's probably stuff that was done before that, but you guys were the most consistent with that Dawn stuff. You know what I mean? Because you hear, like, some offshoots like the Santee Goat, but then you won't hear it no more. But it's like, Dawn, this is a product, and, you know, waiting for the next project. The next project complements the previous, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was just a whole thing. Even the visuals that was provided behind the Dawn project was, you know,
and
amazing.
She had so much to do with those visuals too. A lot of people don't know how hands-on she is with her own stuff. Like, she really is incredible. She really is incredible. Like, she's an amazing artist. Like, that's the truth.
That's dope. That's dope to do some music, you know, with an artist and see them take it serious and see them, you know, make it come to life, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to Dawn for that. And shout out to you and Drew for, you know, creating timeless pieces and, you know, setting the trend, if you will. You know what I mean? Because there's an artist out here today that's working. I go shit on her, but I'm like, this reminds me of Dawn. And any future projects that you want to?
Nothing at the moment that I really have my hands in. My focus has really been on YouTube. I got a call to do some Usher stuff, but that's about it. Like, I've really not been active in or intentional about trying to get in the studio, because I really am enjoying building what I'm building with teaching and, you know, giving information. I really do like that at this point. I'm not saying that I'm leaving music, but I think that's kind of what has my heart right now. And I am the type of person that has to do what I'm passionate about. I feel like that's why I made it so far in music, because I was really passionate about music. Like, it wasn't just about the money for me. It was, I love to do it. So I feel like that's what drives me, and that's what I gotta do. And right now, what I love to do is build this thing over on YouTube and build these classes and these workshops. Like, right now, we've been invited to submit a proposal by a member of the parliament in Tonga to work with kids over there on music. So I feel like teaching just kind of has my heart right now, you know?
That's dope. That's dope. You've always had a knack for educating, mm-hmm. though, so this makes sense, you know, and anybody who know you could have seen this coming and developing into the Timeless TV and Writer's Click. And Carla, before we let you go, what should our listeners do ASAP?
Follow me on Instagram. I am Sunny_InCarlifornia. That's Sunny underscore InCarlifornia. And follow the YouTube. Like, share, subscribe. Blow it up.
And I'm going to have all that information in the description of this episode. Again, Carla, thank you for tapping in with ASAP. This is long overdue. We got a lot of stuff to talk about because I'm interested in what you got going on. But listeners, if you are new to this podcast, ASAP, make sure you subscribe, follow. Apple users, make sure you rate 5 stars, write a review. See you guys on the next one.
Cool. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.